And I'd like to take the three letters of the word LAP, L-A-P, just to give a little bit of structure to the few thoughts I've got to share with you this morning. It's no coincidence, really, that Mothering Sunday occurs in the middle of Lent and just 3 weeks before Easter Day. Next Sunday is Passion Sunday, when our focus is firmly directed to the experiences that Jesus went through in those days in Jerusalem, days which are pivotal to our Christian faith. So LAP, the first letter, L, stands for, you can probably guess, love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, that he looked down on the city and he wept for it.
When Jesus came in sight of the city, he wept over it and said, "If only you had known this day the way that leads to peace."
Regularly, the Gospels tell us that Jesus was moved with compassion, moved with pity, moved with love when he encountered a person or a group of people. And at the heart of the faith that we hold, at the heart of the story of Jesus, at the heart of the Easter story is love. Generous, heartfelt, selfless love. Jesus certainly wasn't a doormat. Often he stood against the crowd for what was right. He could be outspoken and occasionally very cross. But underpinning all that he did was love and concern for our greater good. And as today we thank God for our mothers and for those who have parented and nurtured us, we're aware, however imperfectly it was sometimes expressed, of this same instinct of unconditional, unselfish love. Unlike Jesus, our mothers and we sometimes fall short of the ideal. But the model is there for us in Jesus, and also expressed in that wonderful passage from 1 Corinthians 13.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
So at the heart of the Easter story, at the heart of the ministry of Jesus, and at the heart too of good parenting, good motherhood, is love, unselfish, giving love. So L is for love. A is for ashamed. Despite the depths of love which we received from our mothers, we're all aware of times when we've let them down and even turned away from them, perhaps. Parenting can be very painful sometimes, as young people quite naturally assert their independence and their own identity. Some of you will have heard this story before, but it's one that I think bears repeating. It's about a young boy called Michael. Not the young boy here called Michael. In his younger days, he was always asking his mother if friends could come round to play. But when he reached 8, his parents noticed that he stopped pestering them for his friends to come round to the house. One day, his father took him on one side and asked him about this. The boy went red. Couldn't think what to say. Until his father said, "Michael, is it because of your mother's hands?" Michael burst into tears and nodded sadly. His father went on to tell him how it was that his mother's hands had become so ugly and discoloured. "One day, Michael," he said, "you took some matches into the garden, despite the fact that you'd been told not to. The next thing was, your mother looked out of the window and your coat was on fire. And she rushed out and she beat out the flames with her hands. And that's how her hands became so ugly and discoloured. Michael was no longer ashamed, now that he knew the story and understood it. He was more keen than ever to invite his friends round and to quietly point to his mother's hands with the explanation, "She's like that because she loves me and she saved me from serious harm." One of the ways in which we sometimes let God down is our tendency to be ashamed, or, if that's too strong, to be diffident or unsure about Christ and about our faith in general. And so often, this is because we don't really know or understand the story. It's a challenge to each of us as we approach Easter to really get to grips with this wonderful but very challenging story, to really work out what it means for us as individuals, so that we live our lives with a confidence in the cross and the resurrection. And as we move on in a few minutes to baptize Harriet, part of what we are doing is to promise her that she will have the opportunity to learn and to understand the stories of Jesus for herself, that she will have the experience of the love of God in her home and through her local church. It's a great sadness that children no longer learn Bible stories in many of our schools, and very few children attend Sunday schools on a regular basis, so parents have such a key responsibility for teaching and sharing. There are many good books around to help parents, and so much music like the Jerusalem Joy that we sang here a while ago, the Roger Jones musical, which really helps children to sort out the meaning of the Easter story. But so many are unclear of their faith, children as well as adults, and therefore diffident in terms of sharing it and living it out in the community. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 1,
"For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the saving power of God for everyone who has faith."
Paul wasn't ashamed or diffident about the gospel because he really knew the story of Jesus. He'd really understood it and taken on board how wonderful it was. So, L-A, love, ashamed, or perhaps more accurately, not ashamed. And thirdly, the P. The P is for perseverance. One of the dominant features of the Easter story is that Jesus knew what he had to do. It appalled him. The prospect of the suffering to come was agonizing, as we see in the accounts of his time in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we read in Luke chapter 23, where Jesus says,
"Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done."
But he kept going through the ups and downs of the week that we call holy, right through to the cross. As we welcome Harriet into the church this morning, we're praying for her well-being as she begins her journey through life. A life, of course, that will have its ups and downs. And as her parents, Ken and Helen, and as godparents, Sarah, Katie and Ben, you have the special privilege, joy, and responsibility for guiding her through her early years. And in bringing Harriet to baptism, you're making a statement that at the heart of what you wish to offer Harriet is a strong Christian foundation for her faith journey. There is much that we wish for our children. And yes, you'll take her to interesting places. Yes, you'll try and feed her the best food. Yes, you'll look out nice clothes for her. Yes, you'll look for the best possible schooling for her. You might have to move back to this part of Whitney. And so on. But it's so easy for our family lives to become swamped with these and other concerns, so that the faith journeys of all the household become disorientated and stop moving forward. And our commitment today to Harriet is that in God's strength, we will not let that happen. As we'll shortly be singing these words of Jesus.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
So there we are. L is for love. A is for not ashamed. P is for perseverance. As we seek to make our life's journey in the kingdom of God, so as we persevere, we experience and enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, as Paul describes them in Galatians 6.
The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, and self-control.
Fruits that we wish for ourselves, fruits that we wish for each other, and fruits which today we especially wish for Harriet to experience and enjoy in a very rich way in her life. May God bless her richly. Amen. So we're now going to stand and sing that song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And it's our tradition in this church to sing it as a bit of a round, which means that the people on my left over here will start singing the first verse. When they get to the end of the first verse, if the people from this side would then start singing, and they sing the chorus. So you're singing the first verse while they sing the chorus. When we get to the end, let's all join together in the final chorus. You'll get the hang of it. So let's stand and sing number 590, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.